This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Turning over to a new coach, new schemes. You got to be willing to do that. And
wow.
I believe they'll be willing.
Yeah, and what they did to Byron Jones.
Yeah.
Byron Jones was the old right kind of guy. You know, he's like, if you had a daughter, you wanted him to date Byron Jones. I mean, he's the only player over there. But, I mean, to me, you're in a situation right now where you're looking at, you're trying to win games, and you're not good enough in the secondary. You're just not. And, whether it's veteran players not doing their jobs or you're just not good enough, something has to change over there.
Okay, elsewhere in the C note, just a sprained knee for Chris Carson, thankfully. That would have been terrible, for it to be career-threatening on Tristan Hill's conscience. I'm sure, watching that film, he's like, oh, man, my bad.
I bet you Tristan Hill reached out to Chris Carson. And I know that, Pete Carroll, and Mike's handled it the right way. He's like, listen, we don't want anybody to get hurt. We don't want football being played that way. But this is not this kid's just getting on the field. I mean, he's honestly just trying to survive. Any tackle that he can make, any time he gets close to a quarterback, he's trying. And it's unfortunate for him. It really, really is.
Playing basketball one time, this guy was killing me on the boards. And I'm not the tallest guy.
He'd break his rib?
But I would box out, and I'd be like, dude, okay, it's a battle. All right, you got 5 inches on me. You're going to have to earn it then. And at one point, I get the ball, but he's coming through me to take it. You're not going to call over the back. So I just said, screw it, brought the ball down, and I kind of bent his arm backwards.
Oh,
and it was too much, right? And his reaction, anybody else's reaction, was like, but in the moment, I just had enough of getting beat. Yeah. And I said, you're not taking this. And if you're Tristan Hill and you're that close to a sack and you're that close to getting the guy, and then you get him, and you're like, no, this is my damn ball, and in that – eighth of a second, you do something regrettable, and instantly I was like, oh my good, bad, dude.
Did that. My story is John Snyder and Reggie McKenzie, we were all playing racquetball at Green Bay, and I fired a ball purposely off Snyder's head. And he got my way, and I purposely, I smoked it right off the back of his head. And he turned around and looked at me, and I go, you want something? And Reggie came over, and I said, Reggie, I don't want to fight you. I want to fight Snyder. But I smoked it off the back of his head because he kept getting in the way. And I said, listen,
it was partners or something.
Oh, yeah, we're playing doubles and we're banging in there. I mean, we're just like, it's like old guys. I mean, at the time we were all young, just banging into each other. And it was so competitive. And he finally just pissed me off. And I did. I fired that ball and it hit him right in the back of the head. And I did it on purpose. And he knew I did it on purpose. But
that'll sting a little.
Yeah, that was. I left a mark. I left a mark on him for sure. Yeah.
Well, so that's why I give him one. I'm not going to call Tristan Hill a dirty player.
Yeah.
Schneider, I give you one. If you do it again, sweeping the leg.
You smoke a ball into my back. Now you're going to get a ball smoked into your back. Yeah.
Now we got racquetball warfare on our hands.
There we go.
It is the G-Bank Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Film Room. This is from John Owning in the Morning News. Three things learned from Cowboy Seahawks, including why Zach Martin should start at right tackle until Lyle Collins returns.
Ooh.
The other one he throws out here in the headline is Jordan Lewis's best position at safety?
That's a good question. That's a fair question. I like it.
Take a bite out of one of those topics for us here.
I'll tell you what. I like the Zach Martin at right tackle because if you're going you're going to need the ability to run the ball some. And, you can't just totally go in a shell and not run it. But I would like to have power players at the point of attack on the edge. I think that's important that you have to be able to get the ball on the outside. And not everything's going to come from the middle, but things that have got to get the way the Cowboys stretch and run to the outside. If you could get the tight end, the tackle, slam that thing, get it all caved down, get the ball to the outside. I am much better with that going on than having Steele or Knight or one of those guys over there playing on that side.
So Jordan Lewis is a smaller guy, but he's got tons of dog in him, and he's a good tackler.
Yeah, look what he was when he got around the line of scrimmage. He had that tackle for loss. Remember Russell Wilson was scrambling with the ball and ran out to the right. Who made the tackle in the open field? It was Jordan Lewis right there for a loss of three. So, yeah, if he could kind of he's got that kind of the ability to play around the line, be sneaky, a really good blitzer. Kind of has a feel for that, kind of get lost and then make a play. I think Owning is on to something right there. I really do.
Orlando Scandrick played that role sometimes.
He sure did. Played a slot blitzer. Is one of the best. I remember talking to Rod Marinelli. He said, this guy reminds me when he does it, he reminds me of Tiki Barber. Oh, excuse me, Rondé Barber. Rondé Barber, his brother, was one of the best slot blitzers there was in the league. And you have to have a feel for how to get home. And Lewis is not afraid to mix it up with those big blockers, too.
Plus, he'll go get the football. You know, he seems like a guy that played swipe offense in his past or something.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
If you have him safety off the ball, maybe he could read.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel like he takes too many risks going for the football in coverage, or maybe he's just not sticky enough. I'm not quite sure there. But whatever the case, he's not in the picture all the time when the ball is being completed. And maybe at safety, it wouldn't hurt so bad.
I would move Carr back to corner. And I would put Lewis at safety if you're going to play those reps.
That would be fun. Okay, speaking of defensive backs here, Trayvon Diggs with a play that nearly won the game for him. Just amazing. He roasted by Metcalf, right? And on a little stop and go or hesitation, and he was just toast. But he didn't give up, and he punched the ball out. That guy's got good hands, you know? Yeah. I don't know how many players I've seen that are adept at like making a play on the ball and still being there to make the tackle. He almost had another one in the fourth quarter where the guy was kind of in front of him, and he threw like a straight right hand down in there and still managed to come around and help on the tackle in the backside. So I think Diggs is going to be your takeaway player, and I think he's good enough in coverage that he can stay at the cornerback spot. What do you think about that?
Yeah, he's had a couple of the previous two games he had chances for interceptions and had drops, and you know it's going to come once he gets the one. Then I think we're going to see multiple ones. I mean, they're going to pick on him though. Get ready though. This week the Browns.
Yeah.
When I do the breakdown for the Browns on Wednesday, it's going to be a lot of talking about those receivers. They watch that tape. They're going to see what's happening with those guys out there.
So what's his weakness right now? Is he getting set up for big moves?
Yeah, I think he's getting set up. I mean, if you know, even if Metcalf would have just kept running at normal pace, that he wouldn't have caught him.
Oh.
He slowed up, and it's just the kid had a burst to finish and to knock the ball loose. But yeah, if Metcalf would have just kept running with the ball, I don't think that there's that separation. Now we saw him carry a route to the middle of the field. I believe it was Julio Jones, you know, carry down the middle of the field there and stay in position right there. But people are going to try and double move him, make him bite, and then take him deep and see if he could turn quick enough and then trail.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's been a big Cowboys Monday. Quick story here before we get to crosstalk. This story here actually is why Abby still sleeps in our room most nights. She's 9 years old, and most nine-year-olds have their own room and all that. But this Joe Montana story from over the weekend was just terrifying, wasn't it? Did you see it?
Oh, I saw the headline but did not finish the story.
So Joe and his wife are at home. And they're babysitting their nine-month-old grandchild, Joe and Jennifer Montana. And according to the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Montana told deputies his grandchild was sleeping in a playpen. An unknown woman came into their Malibu home, grabbed the child.
Oh, gosh.
And luckily, Montana and his wife saw her. She starts trying to leave, and Jennifer confronts the woman, who authorities identified as Sodsai Dalzell. They try to de-escalate the situation, like, what are you doing? Can we have our baby back? Lady wouldn't give the baby back. Jennifer and Sodsai end up scrapping for the baby.
There you go.
Jennifer prized the child out of Dalzell's arms, law enforcement officials say. The sheriff's office said perp fled the home but was later arrested. She faces kidnapping and burglary charges. Just terrifying.
Yeah.
Sitting at home.
Yeah, anything involved with your children. I mean, my gosh. And hey, Joe's wife, I mean, give her some credit. Probably threw a couple straight rights, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe hook.
Tough gal.
Know? Yeah, tough gal, you know. Got married to Joe. Joe's a winner. She's probably a winner too.
I tell you what, you know, good genes in that family probably.
Absolutely. Yeah, the kids are definitely athletes. You always hear me talk about mom and dad. That mom and dad. That's what the kind of mom and dad you need right there.
Yes, sir. Although his son didn't put it together. I think
no,
he was at University of Washington for a second.
Well, I tell you what, Odell Beckham, Now his Odell Beckham, his mom, track, and dad, football.
Oh, there
so
you go.
So yeah. that's the kind of things you need right there.
Left a little bit too much up to chance when Joe married the actress.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened there. It was a model or something.
Yeah, you get the looks, but not the ability. Yeah, there
you got it. When we come back, it's time for the nosebleed seats. Woolchuck and Chiafala will find out what's coming up on their broadcast next in the nation. All right, thank you very much, Lucius. All right, here they come, the nosebleed seats. It's Zach Woolchuck and CA here on your home of the Cowboys. Gentlemen, how the heck are you?
He's in the building.
Doing good, doing good. Actually, no Woolchuck tonight.
No Willie
Woolchuck is, you know, first time back in, you know, basically full-on nosebleed seats 5 nights a week. Woolchuck decides to bail on us.
Oh, he's doing a Stars watch party or something?
That story wink, what brought wink. Us. Yeah, well, today is the Jewish Day of Atonement, which is
yes.
Tour.
Yeah.
So Woolchuck.
But we
and,
know the Willy Bully, and we know what he's really going to be doing.
Yeah, I'm sure he's in some Save service us. Right now, yeah. like watching pregame of Stars, yeah. getting his mind right he's in his victory green.
He's got his yarmulke on with his Stars, like, Sagan jersey.
That's exactly right.
Wouldn't be the first time somebody used church as an excuse, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And those last-minute fantasy football tinkering, you're like, oh, crap.
I want to tell you something. When I used to go to church in Green Bay, and, like, before we'd go before games, everybody in the crowd had their game day gear on. They were, like, guys that, like, sitting in church, painted up, face paint,
no way!
Jerseys, everything.
Cheeseheads. Wow.
The father would be up there blessing everybody, and he had on the vestments that had the pack of the green and gold and seriously, everybody would be in there they'd be, in the name of the Father, and they'd all face paint all over them, and it was crazy.
Wow. Is intense.
Yeah. Is every prayer ended with a Go Packers?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to the game right after.
Yeah, you go right from Mass to, like, the game. The church was no more than 5 minutes away. And so, they would go straight from there, early service, 7:30, 8 a.m. service, boom, right to the game.
And you can't go without a face paint and jersey on,
Everybody had everything on there. If somebody had a coat and tie on, you would get like a dirty look, like, oh, non-football fan?
Yeah,
okay.
That's all you.
Yeah. What, you ain't pulling with the Packers?
Guy had a face paint and a Ray Nitschke jersey on, you know?
Yeah.
Don't you know what today is?
Yeah. Okay, so it's a Chia following CA, my bad on that.
Oh, good.
What's coming up, gentlemen? What do you have planned?
Lots of fun. Of course, break down the Cowboys game. We will have Kyle Yeomans of DallasCowboys.com on with us at 9 o'clock. Now, we go Cowboys hour from 7 to 8, so we'll be chilling here, hanging out, and then 8 o'clock we'll really get cranked up. We'll be watching the Stars, a little Monday Night Football action, recapping the entire sports weekend, and the Earl Thomas news just came out, the Doc Rivers stuff. I mean, there's plenty of news to get to here. Broad is sighing at the name of Earl Thomas. Are you just over it, or are you ready for them to go pull the trigger?
No, we tried. We did the best we could. You know, we all know too much. We did our research, and, you know, it just wasn't going to happen. And you got a coach that's now the general manager in Houston. They're 0-3. He needs to stir things up. Go get a guy who can stir it up. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, so is that official? Is that becoming official? Expected?
With the whole thing, when you bring somebody in this early, like on a Monday, it's got to be the COVID stuff. You got to go 3 days or three tests in 4 days. You got to get ready and then try and get them to play on Sunday.
Well, it ain't done yet, Jerry. Okay? This is your team. This ain't your son's team.
Come on, Gavin.
Did your son go wildcat?
Speech.
Was your son willing to put it all on the line? No. He was just barely out of college, probably getting married or chasing tail around town or something. You were the one that showed up. You didn't have 2 credit cards to your name that weren't over-leveraged, and what did you do? You figured out a way to cobble together $125 million, and you put it out on the line and bought the Cowboys. And now you have your son or some coach coming in there saying, oh, no, we don't like Earl because he might be mean to us. Jeez, do you want to win the Super Bowl, Jerry? Or do you want people in your building to be comfortable, okay? Is this the Dallas Cowboys professional football organization or the Dallas Cowboys social club? Because you're worried about ruffling feathers, okay? The name of this game is more points than the other team, not who likes each other and who feels loyal to one another,
I'm feeling this.
Jeez, man. Yeah. You have a damn good offense without an offensive line. Dak and Kellen and Mike figured out a way to cook when Jason Garrett would lose one offensive lineman and turn over like a damn turtle, okay? Now you have a good offense. Dak's cooking. You can't even run the ball and Dak's cooking 400 yards a game. And you're like, oh, no, no, we're good. We don't need to. Oh, what's this? Xavier Woods just had a guy run past him again. Trayvon Diggs can't stick to anybody. Our other two corners are hurt. But no, we don't need Earl Thomas. You guys can't tell me you want to win the Super Bowl. You want to be comfortable, make $800 million a year profit, and not have to worry about, you know, players disrupting the harmony of the locker room, okay? He went there and disrupted the harmony of the locker room last year in Baltimore to the tune of 18 points per game, okay? And they're, oh, get this guy out of here. You know, people are going to be egotistical and say, I can do this without Earl. Get this guy out of here. He's mean to me. But they're not Earl, okay? They can't play. They want to be comfortable, too. They feel like they got a great team. They don't need Earl. Well, guess what? You don't have a great team. You have a team that just gave up the most points in franchise history over three games, Jerry. Figure it out. Prove it. Call up the Houston Texans right now and say, you ain't getting him. He wants to be a Cowboy. Do it, Jerry.
Sorry. And the price. No, you did a great speech, man. That was almost right up there with a hockey hawk, man. Stay in the kitchen.
That was amazing. I wish I could do that. I'd run for office if I could speak like that.
it's only at times where I'm really irritated by something.
And yeah, because it doesn't make any sense.
Is this the most irritating thing the Cowboys have done to you in a while, or is it the fact that they ran the ball?
Hanging on to Jason Garrett. Yeah, hanging on to Jason Garrett was worse.
Yeah, there you go. That was a non-starter. But, yeah, the price was right. He could have signed him, and if he messed up the locker room, you could have cut him and not owed him any money. I mean, the season had already started. The price was right. And he's in the position of, I got to prove myself to the rest of the NFL that I'm not poison. So he would have been on his best behavior. How could you not, at this point in time, go after him? It made no sense other than Steven didn't want to do it.
The head coach didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Your team, Jerry, prove it. Oh, C.A., Oladipo not happy with the Pacers. That would be an incredible player for Luka in the backcourt. Yes. I saw that Miles Turner might want out as well. They really don't like Nate McMillan, or what's going on over there with the Pacers that multiple players aren't happy. But is there any way the Mavs could pry one? I saw they did have the third best Vegas odds to have Oladipo next year. They were sitting at plus 500.
And I've been talking about this since July.
Yeah.
I've always thought that would be a good fit. Now, again, he's got a recent injury history. And I know your radar is always, your spidey senses are always aware for that, but I think the price is going to be right, and he solves a lot of things. They got to pull off a trade, and the best thing about it is Rick Carlisle and Larry Bird are damn near best friends. So trust me, there is a possibility. Plus, you got Donnie Nelson, who's got great friends and relationships with the Indiana Pacers as well, but it's not impossible, and I think he would be a great backcourt mate and provide a lot of points. And I expect Tim Hardaway to come back too, but still, I think they can afford to get him and not mess up a future plan, a goal of the summer of 2021 or 2022 to get the big free agent.
Don't you think Tim Hardaway Jr. would have to be a part of that deal?
Well,
because he's got an expiring contract as well. It would make the money work, and they would get to get that money off their books at the end of the season.
It's a possibility, but they can be creative. And Cuban's not afraid to be over the cap. I swear to God, he's not.
Well, that would be exciting if they could make another trade like that to totally redefine what they're capable of. I mean, I think next year the team they have could make a deep run already.
Yeah.
If you could make it even better, that would be awesome.
And Miles Turner, man, to bring him back to Dallas. This dude is, talk about an impact player at the four position. And he can be inside if he needed to.
Yeah, he gives you a lot of that strength, and now you can defend bigs, but he can still get out and space the floor a little bit. I mean, there's a lot to like about the idea of that. Stars in 10 minutes, guys. The intensity and anticipation is building. Is there going to be a game seven?
Hockey Hawk said it best. It's going to be. It depends on the refs. If the refs can let the Stars play, and the Stars don't wind up in the penalty box time after time after time, we might have a good chance. Again, I would love to see a game seven. And as the Hockey Hawk said, if you're in the kitchen, Wooly Bully, stay in the kitchen.
That's right. Yeah, no, that was a great pump-up speech. That got me fired up. I feel good about it tonight, fellas. I do. You can just let it all hang out. And that's what this team does. They fight to the end. And I think this is a team that if they're going to get knocked out, it's not going to be until the last possible second. And so that would have to be the next game. I think they find a way to fight through this one. And then it's balls to the wall for game seven.
Yeah, if there's a game seven, don't think that Tampa Bay is going to automatically win this, even though they're the better team. That's when things tighten up. It's like, wait a minute, we got knocked out last year. We had a Stars, Tolos, texted in a couple of weeks ago and said, when the matchup was Tampa Bay, it's like, wait a minute, Tampa Bay is just like Virginia in the NCAA tournament last year. Remember Virginia got knocked out in the first round.
Yeah.
And he said, and the Stars are kind of like Texas Tech. Hopefully it doesn't end up that way. But Tampa Bay is so due. So if it were to go to a game seven, don't think the pressure wouldn't be all on their shoulders.
Right on, guys. We'll have a good hour. We look forward to hearing you guys. Is it 8 to midnight tonight, 8 to 11?
8 to 11, yes, sir.
Right on. So here comes the Cowboys Hour and then the Nosebleed Seats with Chiafalo and CA.
Got you down.
Thanks to Brian Broaddus. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Jeff on the road. Probably should be in the state of Oklahoma by now. We're very, very close, but we'll keep our fingers crossed. He will return tomorrow, and it does not have Corona. But stay tuned tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll be into recap not only Monday Night Football, but Game 6, and hopefully start talking about a Game 7 right here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan.